Hello everyone, my name is Skyler Earle. I'm chairing the session this afternoon. Thank you all very much for coming. I hope you've had your coffee. We're going to have a very exciting afternoon. So ladies and gentlemen, I would like to give you Nikolai Yanakiev.
Just a second.
Thank you.
So my talk's going to be about data science with OpenStreetMap and Wikidata. Just for a quick show of hands, who has worked with Wikidata or have heard of it? Okay, so first of all, the outline. So what I'm gonna talk about. So first of all, I'm gonna introduce OpenStreetMap and Wikidata to you as a data source for data analysis. I'll show you how what the difference are between those two projects and how you can connect the both projects together. And the second part will be the whole data science part. I won't have any AI or blockchain or these kinds of things. It will be like classical data science, and I'll show you the libraries and tools I used, and there will be like an exhibition of the projects I tried to do with them. So let's get started. All of you probably know, or most of you know, the elements in OpenStreetMap. So you have three types of elements in OpenStreetMap. You also have area, but it's also part of these ways or relation. So a node is like a GPS point in OpenStreetMap. A way is like a collection of nodes collected as a line string, and then you have relation, which can be a collection of nodes or a collection of line strings and so on, and also relations of relations and so on. And each of these elements can have their own metadata, and this is usually stored as a key value pair. So for example, you have the key amenity, which is pretty common, where you have then values like bar, barbecue, beer garden, and restaurant and so on. And if we have a look at these data in an example, so Salzburg, my home city, you can see the various key value pairs that you have. So you have name, you have admin level, and so on. And right on the bottom there, you'll see a little bit small. You can see Wikidata with this weird number and a queue before of it. So what is Wikidata? So Wikidata is basically a knowledge graph. So that means that the Wikidata is basically a project from Wikipedia, and their idea was mainly to get all the info boxes and structure the data from the info boxes in such a way that when something gets updated, like mayor of a city, all of the other articles in other languages get updated too. And as a side project, they wanted to build the biggest knowledge graph in the world. So and there you have like all this different kind of connections. And for example, for this Wikipedia website, you have for Douglas Adams, you will see in the bottom there a Wikidata item. So that looks like that. You have like this item with the ID we saw before. And each of these items is structured in such a way that you have statements which are basically properties pointing to some other entity or some other item. And here you can see that Douglas Adams was educated at St. John's College. And St. John's College is again a Wikidata item. And so you can have these connections going through all of these areas, and you can ask very interesting questions with that. But how do you ask questions in Wikidata? So they have their own, in linked data, in knowledge graphs, you usually use the Sparkle query language, which is a bit like SQL. Wikidata offers their own query service, a bit like Overpass Turbo for OpenStreetMap. And here you can ask these queries, and here's an example for all the cats in Wikidata. And here on the and on the area below, you have this table of what you get back. So one question I wanted to ask was, okay, what are all the windmills in Wikidata? The query looks like that. So you have this select statement, which you saw before, and then you have these items and their label, and let's try with the pointer. Oh, there it is. Okay, so you have like an item, and you want to have the property instance of a windmill. And then you can have optional items where you want to have the image, you want to have the location, you want to have the country. And this cryptic part below is so you get the labels from the items back. And surprisingly, most of the windmills are located in the Netherlands. And this screenshot is also from the query service we saw before. And you can directly visualize the data as a map or as a table or as a bar chart and everything else. And you can click on the points and see the data we collected before, like the country and the name of the windmill and so on. I talked about both projects, but how are they connected and how can we connect them? So, this is the wrong slide. Just a quick overview, the numbers. So OpenStreetMap started 2004 and has a bunch of data, like over 5 million users, 7 billion GPS points and so on. And Wikidata is a much more recent project, has only 20,000 users, active users. This distinction is because when you work with Wikidata, you use the same login as you would use for Wikipedia. So actually there would be a lot more, but this is only the active part of them. And also the other part is when you notice the number of items there, it's a quite big number for a fairly recent project. This is because Wikidata is, first of all, a public domain. So they believe facts are public domain. And the other part is that they support bots and people that do automatic inserts. So that's one difference. And I wanted to talk about the connection between those two. So as we saw before, we have in OpenStreetMap this Wikidata item, Wikidata tag, and this is stable because the Wikidata ID, even if it gets merged with another item or gets deleted, not when it's got deleted, but when it's get merged with another item, you get a redirect. So the tag is actually stable, so it stays the same. It's other ways in OpenStreetMap. So in OpenStreetMap, when you have in Wikidata the so-called OSM relation ID, which has in total almost 100,000 entities, then you know, as in OpenStreetMap, the IDs can change. So if you use a node, it can become a way, it can become a relation, and even relations can become other things. And so it's actually not so stable. And especially it's important that you don't use nodes or ways or areas in this field. There has been a proposal for a permanent ID in Wikidata, but it's still on the way to be developed. And another thing which is interesting is you have another tag in Wikidata where you can map the key values we saw before with a property in Wikidata, which means you can do matching and things like that. Okay, let's go with the data science. I saw this really interesting paper about data science, which was called 50 Years of Data Science. And this actually explains why there is a need for data science and why it shouldn't be called statistics. It's a pretty long read, but it's fairly interesting. But the main difference is that statistics is usually focused on theory and inferential statistics, which means like finding pattern in small sample sets. And data science is more directed towards prediction and pattern recognition for large data sets. And it's also statistics is more theory-based and data science is more pragmatic and practice-based. But that's an overgeneralization, but that's more or less the gist of it. And the tools I used, mainly Jupyter, which was also created for this, presentation. It's like a notebook environment for where you can have text and code together. And then you have PostGIS. Then I used PostGIS, which is like the spatial database for extension for PostgreSQL. And finally, I used GDAL for the conversions. And all of this was made with Python. So just a quick rundown. So in data science, you mostly work with NumPy, Pandas, and Matplotlib for data science projects. Shapely and GeoPandas are wonderful libraries for geospatial analysis and working with geospatial data. And PySQL is a pretty good library for spatial analysis, like spatial regression and so on. And the last one is a data shader. It's like a visualization library for large-scale data. So let's have a look at the OpenStreetMap Wikidata items. The OpenStreetMap elements with Wikidata. So this is the whole map of Europe with all the OpenStreetMap items with label of Wikidata. And I wanted to do, as we saw yesterday, I didn't want to use a heat map, so I used the chloroplef. It doesn't look much better. It's not much better. You cannot really see interesting patterns here, but if we do like a hotspot analysis with a method called LISA, you can see hotspots of areas which are where you have more OpenStreetMap items with Wikidata tag, yeah, like hotspots, cold spots, and so on. In Wikidata, one of the most common properties is the instance of. It's like a class, so something is a class of. Here's a quick visualization of all the Wikidata items with a location associated to them. And from them, I took like the most common instance of. So you can see that there are some interesting regional differences. So for example, in France, you most commonly have church building. That mostly reflects only the way people insert data or the data sets they used or what's interesting for different people that used it. And also you can see differences like in Britain you have the, what is it called? Building, yes. And in another area you have, where was it? House, yes. And here around the Alps are a lot of mountains, so that's two. And the interesting thing is when you have this instance of, you can drill down inside this data, so you can use, you can filter the data so you have only companies in Wikidata. And then you can visualize, okay, which companies do we have here? And then you can see, okay, Germany and Austria has a Gasthaus, which is basically a restaurant. And then you have a brewery, and in England you have a lot of pubs. Surprisingly. And also interestingly, when you select Britain itself, you will see that the upper part of Scotland is known for whiskey distilleries. It's I'm not sure if there's a bias or but it's interesting. You can see these interesting relationships in the data. What I wanted to see is when you look at these businesses, many of them have websites associated to them. And I recently saw a tweet where some guy on the internet said that apparently 70% of all websites run jQuery, and a lot of web developers hate jQuery. And I wanted to see, okay, is this right what he says? And I have the data, and I can prove it and see if it's how it looks regionally. So he was right. The median is around 0.69. And this is the distribution of regions with jQuery usage, so in percentage. So we have some regions that have 0.3% jQuery. They probably use React. And then you have like people that still use jQuery a lot. And when you visualize that regionally, one big disclaimer is that a lot of the dark parts here are also because there's a missing data and a lot of not enough data to like see a proper pattern. But it's more like fun to see what it looks like. And again, a hotspot analysis. So in parts of France, they still like to use jQuery, and Sweden apparently doesn't like it at all. Sorry. There's a bias in the data, so don't believe the data like that. We'll come to the points shortly if we have enough time. Yeah. Okay. Another project I did was when with OpenStreetMap, I used regions there, and I counted the various amenities in the region. So, for example, like restaurants, bars, and things like that. And according to the counts in these regions, I looked at the signatures of a region, and then used this signature of the region to classify countries. So here I classified a logistic regression to compare Germany and France. And again, I want to say that the data is biased. I didn't prove it or checked it properly, but it was just an attempt to see if that works and how it works, how it looks like. There have been a lot of regional differences in the amount, and since Europe is pretty big, you have very big variations between the countries as well in the coverage of the data. So that's one part. And another project that Stefan Keller from Switzerland showed me was the castle dossier map of Switzerland. And it's like a thematic map where you have data from OpenStreetMap, Wikidata, and Wikimedia Commons, where you have the images from, and Wikipedia for additional information and labels. And you can like see your region and see where you have a castle nearby, and you can see a little bit about the story. And that was a quite interesting project as well that combined both data sets. And in conclusion, so naming things is hard, and meaningfully categorizing things is even harder. So this is especially what we see in Wikidata. You can see these regional differences where like one region has this class a lot, they use it a lot. It has been established in this country, and in another country they use something completely different, like building, and the other one it was house, even though it's the same thing, but it's quite difficult. But what I like about Wikidata is that they try to build the whole thing bottom up, so they just see how it develops, and we will see if the project will be good in this sense. Yeah, that's what I said before. Also, disclaimer, this hypothesis has not been tested. There have been no p-values used for this hypothesis. Another thing which I see interesting, especially I saw it especially in an OpenStreetMap, is this idea of the Wittgenstein's ruler. So when you use a ruler to measure the table, you also use the table to measure the ruler. So basically, if you have biased data, it can tell you exactly as much about the people that created the data and work behind the data as much as it can tell about the region itself. So that's something you can see in Wikidata and OpenStreetMap a lot, like where the focus of the communities are and which projects are working. For example, in Wikidata, you have a lot of projects that they have wiki projects where they assemble people to work on a certain region or a certain project or a Nobel Prize or something like that, and they collect data for that project. And the last part is node data. So really important when you do classifications and things like that and data analysis, you really need to know where your data comes from and if it's complete. That's also another big project, but we don't have time for that. I left some information for that at the end. Yes, this is the information about the completeness. Oh, we actually do have some time left. Okay. Yeah, in OpenStreetMap you have a lot of research about the data completeness. So one research which was interesting is that the world user-generated roadmap is more than 80% complete according to this paper. And also there are a lot of other projects that measure different measures to see how complete the data set is, how complete certain attributes are. And in Wikidata that's been also recently worked on. So there's an interesting article that talked about how to estimate the completeness of classes in Wikidata. So they basically used the time when somebody did an edit and the time it got edited again, and use this as a way to measure how complete the class is. And so they saw that some administrative regions are fairly complete, and then something like mountains or hills are not so much complete, because you can still see a lot of change going on there. And also there's another paper that's generally for knowledge bases, like Wikidata, where they assess the completeness of the entities. And this is also an interesting tool where you can see the completeness for various attributes. Yeah, so we made it. So any questions? Oh, just ask us.
Yeah. So I love that part of the presentation, but did I miss something? Or what was the link between the jQuery per country and Wikidata? Or is it coming from the same source? Or I suppose the jQuery data doesn't come from there.
So the question was about the jQuery data, where it comes from, right? So basically, I used the company's data, which you saw before, for OpenStreetMap, for Wikidata. Let me check where it was. Yeah, so, no, this was not this. Yeah, here, I used this map for, I collected all the businesses in Wikidata that have a location associated with them, and that have a website with them. It was I think it was like 100,000 or something like that. Yeah. I thought I'll not make the time because when I tested it yesterday, it was like 30 minutes. So, yeah. Okay, another question? Yeah? So the question was if the Wikipedia article is related to the Wikidata item. Yes, some of the information is loaded into the info boxes, but the text is not modified by the information unless it's in a language that's not updated. Then it's using the Wikidata information to generate the text, as far as I understood. Also, the coordinates are manually inserted, or if the Wikipedia article had the information before, it was loaded into the Wikidata item from the Wikipedia page. Yeah. Yeah?
When I understood correctly, all the data is Sparkle queries, so all the map data is provided by Sparkle queries. Did you publish them somewhere?
Yeah, well, if I clean the notebooks, I will publish the notebooks for that, yeah. So the question was if the data is available somewhere and the queries. Yes? As I said, the question was if the data is extremely skewed or localized. As I said, there's a. I did not test if this is the case. So you could probably test it fairly quickly if there's a. If there's a regional homogeneity or between countries, there's large differences. I think that's easy to test, but I haven't tested for that.
Like for certain type of venue, for example, you can plot it on a continental level, and you probably see there's certain balance.
Oh yeah, yeah. You could check on a larger scale too. Yeah. Yes. So the question was how to access the OpenStreetMap data. So I used also the Overpass API, but I also used the dumps. For the whole Europe data set, it's too large for querying the Overpass API. I tried to chunk it and everything, but in the end it was easier to just download the whole thing. Another project I didn't mention is the OSMNX project. It's a wonderful project by Geoff Boeing, where you can query OpenStreetMap data fairly easily, and you can get it as a data frame, pandas data frame. Yeah.
Any other questions? Oh, all right. Oh, thank you very much.
Thank you.